This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, in for John Hockenberry. Thank you so much for listening. The 2016 election was a milestone for supporters of drug reform. Marijuana-related ballot measures passed in 8 different states. Now, overall, 29 states and the District of Columbia now have legalized marijuana for medicinal purposes. And 8 of those states, along with D.C., legalized marijuana for recreational use. But as more of those laws are being rolled out at the state level, they're being met by hostility from the Trump administration. Here's Attorney General Jeff Sessions speaking to a National Association of AGs meeting back in February.
My view is that crime does follow drugs. I, as you know, am dubious about marijuana. As states, I get, can pass whatever laws they choose, but I'm not sure we're going to be a better, healthier nation that if we have marijuana being sold at every corner grocery store.
Now, earlier this year, Attorney General Jeff Sessions created a crime reduction task force. One of its missions was reviewing connections between federal marijuana sentencing and violent crime. The findings of that task force are expected to be published at the end of the month. But in the meantime, Sessions has gone to Congress. He's asked leaders there for legal permission to skirt around state marijuana laws and directly impose the existing federal ban. In just a minute, we're going to go to Nevada, which is experiencing a bumpy rollout of recreational marijuana legalization there, despite having a reluctant Republican governor. But first, Mark Kleiman is here. He's professor of public policy at the NYU Marin Institute of Urban Management, and he's here to talk about the line between state and federal enforcement. Mark, welcome.
Thank you.
Mark, as we mentioned, more and more states are deciding that they want their marijuana laws loosened. You hear a very different message from Jeff Sessions there. Where exactly is the line now between state laws and what the federal government can do?
The federal law is valid everywhere. So all a state can do is change its state law. So it can create a state legal system, but it can't create a legal system. When my group worked with Washington State to set up their commercial cannabis system, I kept having to remind people that we were issuing state licenses to commit federal felonies. Nothing's changed about that. The question is to what extent the federal government can actually go after state legal activity. And the Obama administration decided that unless that activity impinged on 8 federal priorities which it listed, it was not going to make that kind of enforcement a priority. And in the meantime, the Congress had actually forbidden the Justice Department to spend any money to interfere with state medical marijuana systems. So at least the medical side was somewhat protected, though the actual force of that law isn't clear. Early on, this administration indicated that they were going to take that fact as an indication that Congress did not want them enforcing against medical marijuana, but possibly go after the commercial side. Whether that reflects what's going to be the Justice Department's view or not, I don't know.
So it's clear legally in a state that has legalized recreational marijuana, let's say Colorado, that if a state regulates its sales and its shops and its taxes within the border of its state, that the Justice Department can still go in.
Absolutely. We run 2 different systems in this country. There are lots of things that are illegal under federal law that are not illegal under state law. And the problem that Eric Holder as Attorney General under Obama ran into is the same problem that Sessions is going to run into, which is the federal government does not have the horses to actually enforce its laws. 4,000 DEA agents cannot replace the work of 500,000 state and local cops. I think in the end, there's going to be a lot of bluffing, a lot of huffing and puffing, maybe a couple of symbolic cases. But I think the decision that the previous administration made was inevitable. This is federalism in action. The Congress has not given the federal government the money it needs to enforce its own laws, and therefore it relies on state and local cooperation. And if the states don't want to play, there's not a lot the feds can do about it.
Mark, the Supreme Court has already ruled on parts of this federalism debate around marijuana that you're talking about, the well-known case of Gonzalez v. Raich.
Right.
Back in the late 90s or maybe early 2000s, I suppose. How far has that case gone in setting limits between what the federal government can do and what rights states have here?
Well, in that case, the question was around medical and whether the state could decide that something is medical, even though the federal government had decided that it wasn't, and the Supreme Court said no. I don't think anybody has doubted that the federal government can make cannabis illegal or make cannabis sales illegal. What the federal government could do if it wanted to is destroy the state legal systems. Right? Everybody in Colorado had to apply for a license to grow or to sell. Those applications are public records. The Justice Department could take those applications into federal district court and say, Your Honor, here are people who were applying for licenses to commit felonies. Please enjoin them from doing so. And those injunctions would issue, and then they could use the contempt power to shut down those stores. What they couldn't do is shut down the illegal market that would come back as a result because of the manpower problem. Cannabis is now a $40 billion a year illegal market. It's by far the largest of the illegal drug markets, big change from even 20 years ago. And I think we're now at the point where we were with alcohol prohibition around 1929. The system is simply falling apart under the pressure of the size of the illegal market and the unwillingness of anybody to spend the money to shut it down.
Well, Mark Klein, let's leave this with the politics around marijuana legalization, which have shifted drastically. I mean, 60% of Americans in a Quinnipiac poll now say marijuana should be legal. It's already a multi-billion dollar industry in the states that we've talked about. States are drawing millions in tax revenue. Banks want to get into the game. Why would Congress, knowing that many of their constituencies feel this way and many of their states are drawing so much money from the taxes, want to grant Jeff Sessions' request for a crackdown?
Notice that voters in a bunch of states have legalized cannabis for commercial, for non-medical use. No state legislature has done that. Again, even though it's quite popular, politically a lot more popular than, say, Donald Trump. But I think the number of politicians who want to be on the wrong side of law enforcement on a drug issue is not very large at the moment.
Mark Klein, professor of public policy at the NYU Marin Institute of Urban Management. Mark, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, one state that finds itself on the front lines of marijuana legalization is Nevada. Voters legalized recreational marijuana there in November. But on July 1st, when official sales were supposed to start, the state was unprepared for a huge demand. Tick Sagerbloom is a Nevada state senator who backed legalizing marijuana in his state. Senator, welcome.
Thank you.
Why wasn't the state prepared to meet all the demand for this newly legalized product?
We were. The rumors that we ran out of marijuana was not true. We had plenty of marijuana, and we still do. So anyone wants to come to Nevada, it's available in any kind of form you want.
Now, hang on. There were lots of stories written about how dispensaries ran out of marijuana, how there were disputes with alcohol distributors who were originally licensed to distribute. What happened?
Those stories got greatly exaggerated. What happened was the governor proposed a regulation, and because he wanted to expedite it, he called it an emergency regulation. And so the press went out that we were having an emergency because we were running out of marijuana. But that literally was not the truth. We have plenty of marijuana. We had some issues about delivery, but those issues have been resolved. And if you want to come to Nevada, trust me, you'll find whatever you want.
All right. Well, Senator, how much money does Nevada stand to gain in taxes and regulation here?
We're looking at over a two-year period, probably about $150 million.
What would you like to spend it on?
Well, most of it goes to education, but there's lots of other people, obviously, with their hand out. Our state is very poor. We have a poor tax structure, so everybody is always wanting more money. So trust me, there will be plenty of people who want it.
Yeah. I mean, does the law right now dictate that most of it goes to education?
Yes and no. The initiative passed by the voters requires that the money go to education that was passed, the tax that was part of that initiative. But in addition to that, we have an 18% tax that we as legislature adopted, and that money we have the flexibility with. Although, again, primarily we're going to send most of it to education.
So what does it look like now, Senator, in Las Vegas, in Reno, even in Searchlight, places like that? Are dispensaries popping up, storefronts in strip malls?
No, we had an existing medical marijuana program, and so those dispensaries which were serving the medical community are now allowed to service recreational people. So we haven't got any new dispensaries. It's just the existing ones. Some of them are in shopping malls and things like that, but they've been there for a couple of years. So the average person wouldn't see any difference other than the fact that there might be a line outside the door.
Senator, we just spent some time talking about the potential for a new federal crackdown from the Trump administration, who does not like liberalizing marijuana laws in places like Nevada. Are officials or customers in your state worried about a federal crackdown, and has the uncertainty slowed you down at all?
Yes, we are worried, but no, it hasn't slowed us down. We basically are poking our finger in Trump and Sessions' eye and say, come get us. Because the initiative the voters passed last November didn't require us to go out with recreational till January. We brought it out 6 months early. So we're really going forward. We're keeping an eye on Washington, but we're basically saying, if you want to come to Nevada, have at us, because we don't think you have the balls really to come after us.
So, Senator, the two biggest expenses in almost any state budget are education and Medicaid. Those are the big ticket items that states have to pay for. We're watching a debate in Washington right now that may cut the federal contribution to Medicaid by billions, hundreds of billions of dollars over the next 20 years. And as a state lawmaker who's responsible for your state's budget, I wonder how important you think marijuana legalization will be for the long-term health of your state's budget.
Frankly, compared to Medicare and Medicaid, it's not that much money, or even education. It's a drop in the bucket. It's a significant amount, but it's still less than 5%. But the one thing you didn't mention, which is another part of our state budgets, is prison system. And the fun thing about marijuana is not only do you get revenue, but you also take people out of the prison system, out of the correction system, out of the criminal justice system, which saves a ton of money. So there's a lot of ancillary benefits that people don't even think about when you legalize marijuana.
Do you think this is a good way, though, to make drug policy in your state or other states? I mean, we have an FDA in Washington, experts who worry about safety and effectiveness for drugs. Nevada doesn't vote to legalize one heart medication over another, or one weight loss medication over another. It's just not how we do it. Why should we do it with marijuana?
Well, the reality is marijuana has been out there being used since I was using it in the 60s and before that. It's one of those things where Washington, D.C. policymakers are so far behind the curve, both as far as policy and as far as the public. The public likes this drug. They use this drug. And the fact that it would be criminalized is really insane. And we waited and waited and waited for the federal government to take action. They didn't. Finally, the states are one by one stepping up and saying, we're going to do it anyway. So sometimes you just have to take the bull by the horns, and that's what states are doing. And I think this is just one example, but lots of other areas. And, of course, Trump is so far removed from where this country is going. He's a throwback to the 50s. So the states are where all the action is, and we're just going to go forward with what we think is best policy. And at some point, hopefully, D.C. will catch up with us.
Tick Sagerbloom, Democratic State Senator in Nevada. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
The Takeaway is supported by LegalZoom.com, providing legal answers to the day-to-day questions of small business owners through its network of independent attorneys, available nationwide. More information at LegalZoom.com/takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.